Blog Talk Radio.
So I'm your host, Ron Fitch, and today we're going to talk about the NBA and the NCAA and a little, I'll sprinkle in a little boxing because I want to do a boxing show next week. First of all, start with the NBA All-Star game. I turned it off. I got to have some defense. I got to have a little more passion. I got to have a little more desire. Yeah, they're scoring. Of course you go to school and everybody's just staring. I saw guys not even getting in stances. I know you don't play defense. You don't want to get hurt in the NBA. But there's got to be a little more intensity. The crowd was quiet. It just, it was not good. If you like offense, and if you're like these stat geeks that think the NBA started in 2003, and then you love this kind of game, you know, your PlayStation kind of score, almost 200 points, everybody's putting up threes, I'll pass. If this is going to be the NBA All-Star game, I'm going to pass. I'm not going to sit there and watch it, then have to just turn the channel off. 196 to 173. Seriously? I mean, with all these great athletes, you figure they in the fourth quarter, they want to play defense. But I guess they hadn't played defense all game long. So you're in that habit, and you just, And they celebrated the last of the Mohegans, Kobe Bryant, the last guy that played, the last assassin. I know Reggie Miller retired. He was the last of that generation, and Duncan's going to retire. The last of the hard-nosed, cutthroat competitors. D-Wade's going to retire soon. That's going to be it. And I mean, other than Curry and Thompson, and that's why Golden State's so good, because they compete. The rest of these teams compete sometimes. Sometimes they don't. That's why the East is not that good. Other than Cleveland, they're pretty good. And the West has Golden State and San Antonio. And then everybody else is kind of icky. And that's where we are in the NBA. It'll be competitive because you're going to have a bunch of those B-minus teams playing each other in the playoffs. So it'll be competitive. It's just that you have two teams, Golden State and San Antonio, and then Cleveland in the East. Miami, if they were healthy and could put it together, it could be interesting if they make a deal. They need to make some type of a deal to get another player in there, or they're not going to make it. And there lies a problem. But the All-Star weekend wasn't bad because the three-point shooting contest was great. Steph Curry and Klay Thompson went at it, and it was three-point shooting on the highest level, and Klay Thompson finally got him this year. Curry got him last year. But the dunk contest, and there's really Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine, was fantastic. Gordon jumps over the mascot and does the first dunk. And you're thinking, wow, you can't top that, right? You're not going to be able to top that. But then there's the rotating mascot. As he grabs the ball, does a little Statue of Liberty, then does a windmill dunk. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, was that real? Then Zach LaVine does a windmill dunk that I've never seen before. And that was amazing. Then the dunk of the century, when Aaron Gordon jumps over the mascot as he's grabbing the ball, levitating in the air, then he does a windmill dunk. It looks like somebody jumped off a pogo stick. And he did the dunk, and it was amazing. Even he was amazed. I just was worried. When you make a dunk like that, you just hope he doesn't get hurt. because that's never been done before. That was one of the greatest dunks I've ever seen, jumping over the mascot as the mascot has the ball in his hands, both legs levitating in the air as he does it, and he didn't get a 50, which I don't understand. I would have given him a 60. That's what he deserved. Did Zach LaVine from the sideline windmill dunk. I've seen Dr. J and Jordan do dunks, but he did a windmill dunk, and he got a 50. Amazing. And I loved Gordon's next dunk where he did a almost triple pump backwards dunk. Just, you can see the people in the crowd were like, did you just see that? Amazing. Triple pump dunk backwards. It's hard to describe. You have to see it. Then Zach LaVine from the foul line, where it shows slow motion, just so graceful. Between the legs, windmill from the foul line. Is that humanly possible? And he ends up winning a dunk contest. I'd have called it a tie. But, you know, I think they both deserve it. And you know what this does? This makes next year's All-Star Weekend very interesting. If Steph Curry and Thompson are in it, you can't wait to see them get back into it. And the kid from the Clippers who could flat-out shoot that they drafted from Kentucky that could flat-out shoot, he'll be back. And you got a couple other shooters. But then, really, you're hoping that LaVine and Gordon is healthy, and you just want them two to try it again. And that's high drama. And that's kind of what the NBA wanted. This was a good weekend for the NBA as far as the weekend. The game got to play a little defense. There's too many good athletes and good players. Now, you got Kawhi Leonard, for goodness sake. You got good defensive players. You know, Karl Towns will be in it next year. Maybe he'll have a shot blocker in post play. You know what bothers me? I heard an NBA player say, you know, I like the game now. He's a guard. I like his guard orientated. We don't want the centers in the middle. We want more excitement. You mean to tell me Hakeem Olajuwon wasn't exciting? Some of the other great post players weren't graceful like McHale, Karl Malone, and Kareem and those guys. You mean to tell me you can't have both? You can't have great post play and three-point shots because you could work from outside in. That's what Houston did. That's what made them so great. They shot the three well. They shot the three well because you had the double Olajuwon. You know, that's the problem. And then you have this I know I'm going to be receiving calls. The call number is 646-564-9874. After I take these calls, I'm going to explain about the trading deadline and what's going on. But it was a good weekend just because of that dunk contest, three-point shootout, the skills, the Karl Towns winning, he's a friend of mine. Which is awesome, and I know his dad real well. I'm going to have him on the show. He's been on the show before, and he's a good kid. Still a good kid. Didn't change. NBA life didn't change. A good kid in ninth grade when I knew him. He's a good kid now. And he won the skills competition. He's just getting better and better and better. And that Kentucky team, they really should have won. I know how. The NCAA, I don't try to implement any type of ridiculous conspiracies on my show. But then I lack credibility. The committee really took care of Duke last year by getting them out of Wisconsin bracket. Subconsciously, I don't think the committee wanted Calipari to win a championship and be undefeated next to Bob Knight just because of his reputation and things that happened in his past. And they were very pleased to get Wisconsin there and Duke to beat Wisconsin. I don't think Duke would have beat Kentucky at all. Duke never beats Kentucky to the spot anyway. But I'll digress back to the NBA. Karl Towns has done a fantastic job. Kentucky's got a lot of draft picks in the NBA, a lot of good players in the NBA. Calipari should be very, very proud of that. And they've developed well. But the NBA is going to be interesting going forward because of the fact that you have the NBA was in Toronto, and Toronto's a 2 seed, and they're only 3 back of Cleveland. You know, you got DeRozan and Lowry and those guys, and they're playing really well. They can give Cleveland some trouble in the playoffs, especially with that home crowd. I don't take Boston serious yet. They're well coached. I never take the Hawks serious, ever. The Heat, they just need to find their way at the 5 seed. The Pacers are doing good to be a 6 seed. Vogel did a good job. I don't think they're that great, except they have superstar and Paul George. And the Bulls are just injured. That's why they're the 6 seed. And the Hornets made a move. And they've made a move. Michael Jordan's probably happy about that. Probably doesn't want to lose to LeBron again in the first round because they're the 8 seed. And the Pistons are still in it. The Pistons and Hornets, it depends on how they play going forward. And the Wizards. And who can make a deal? That's what it comes down to. Oh, I got the queen of the NBA calling in. Hello, queen.
Hey, Ronald. How are you?
Well, talk to me, queen. You watched the NBA All-Star game. Come on now.
Oh, wow. The NBA queen enjoyed the show. I think because it was Kobe's last All-Star game, Ron, I really think they weren't putting much effort into it. I think it was more of a show, a tribute to Kobe. You know, just having fun.
Okay. I mean, I'll give him a little of that, but next year I better see some defense. Because I turned the TV off. I love the dunk and three-point. I got that. But the game, I turned it off. You got at least try. That looked like something over there on the courts of Orange Park in East Orange by your house.
Well, you know
Come
what,
on, now.
I think that because if you watch the three-point shootout, I think Steph gave that one to his boy, Clay.
You think?
Yeah. So,
he missed
the
second-to-last rack. He missed a lot of shots he probably made, yeah. So it's very interesting he said that.
He did that on purpose because we all know what kind of damage Steph Curry can do from any place on the court. So when you saw those shots not going in sequentially like that, you knew something had to be up, right?
It's understandable. And then Michael Thompson, his father used to play for the Lakers, told Klay Thompson, don't come home if you don't win this three-point shooting contest. So he
did. Heard that. No. It was between him and Steph Curry, Del Curry. Del Curry's boss.
Del Curry, yeah. I know.
I heard that was cool.
You know, I tell you, have fun trying to stop those two when the playoffs come.
Oh,
my gosh.
You know, I was just doing some research on my squad, and they're averaging 114 points per game. You know what? They don't have the greatest defense, but I think as the season goes on, I think we're going to see Golden State's defense improve. I think they're going to rock it this year. You know, I always tell people about Steph Curry that they have not invented a word in the dictionary to describe that boy and what he's doing. There's no word.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, he's been doing it since he went to Davidson and had that little Davidson team light up everybody in the NCAA tournament. They almost went to the Final Four only because of him. And I said, this guy's going to be great in the NBA. And then he started out slow because of ankle injuries. And then Mark Jackson got there, and they took off. And then Kerr got there, and they won it all.
It's amazing. You know, we thought that, you know, as basketball fans, that we saw, you know, the greatest players play. You know what this does for us, Ron, and we're older. You know, you and I, we're older fans. You know, we're getting there. But it tells us that there's always something new around the corner coming in. Look, this boy is amazing. This boy is amazing. Like,
you know, what about my friend? I got a friend I've known since the ninth grade, and his name goes by the name of Carl Towns, and he won a skills competition. Me and him have been friends since the ninth grade, and I know his family, and it's just a pleasure to see somebody that you know in the NBA play that well.
Right. Yeah, he's really, like I said, there's no word. You know what? The NBA queen's going to work on that for the rest of the season, and by the playoffs, I'm going to invent that word to describe Steph Curry's shooting.
I know you are. You know, it's good to have you back. I wanted to wait to unleash you until all the football got out of the way, and I had to just focus in on the queen. I got a little break because the NCAA is coming in a couple weeks, and when the NCAA is gone, it's all about the NBA playoffs, and that's when you are at your best. That is when you are at your best. I know, so you can't wait.
But
you
listen, the NBA Queen needs to add this before I get off. Last night was so special and very emotional for me, because those of you who know me know that I love basketball so much that I named my middle daughter after the great Kobe Bryant. So last night was very, very emotional. I made my daughter Kobe sit next to me and watch her namesake on TV, because it was just awesome. You know, and Kobe's going to go down in history as the third best guard behind Magic and Michael, period. That's it.
That's how it goes. You know what? Magic said something that was very interesting. And he says, this Golden State team, the way they run up and down the court, remind me of the Showtime. We did the layups. Yeah. They did the threes, but it was the same score defense to get steals and score.
Remember? There was a fast break, right?
Yes.
Right. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. They ran teams off the court, and Golden State runs teams off the court.
This is something out of a sci-fi, into the future type of film. What we're seeing unleashed by the Golden State.
Oh yeah, definitely. And you know, they have one common thread. The Lakers had Jerry West put their team together.
Uh-huh.
And Golden State is put together by Jerry West. Jerry West traded a backup power forward for the draft rights of Magic Johnson to Cleveland. And Cleveland was stupid enough to make that deal. And Magic went to L.A.
He made a great choice. This team is, like I said, there's no work for them. Okay, but before we, I don't know how much time we have for NBA. We can't forget my man, Paul George. If you remember the Queen, about 4 years ago, I was a huge Indiana fan. Paul George went off last night with 41 points and 9 made 3 points, 16 to 26 shooting, but he went off. I have a question for you.
Paul George is back, Queen.
I have a question for you. Why Russell Westbrook as MVP?
They looked at his all-around game, I guess, that he had 8 assists along with his 31, and he, he's the one guy that, I tell you something, though, he's the one guy that cares. He plays like 100 miles an hour forward, going forward, and he is.
But I'm a Paul George fan, and I just think what he did last night was more spectacular than watching Russell Westbrook do what he does every night.
Yeah, I know.
I see your point.
I do see your point.
So I'm going to name, NBA Queen is naming her MVP of the 2016 All-Star Game, Paul George of the Indiana Pacers with 41 points. I'm giving it to my man.
And there is no arguing with a person with the name Queen, so I'm not going to. We're going to go with that.
I'm giving it to Paul George. I mean, I just thought, you know, he's a center, right?
Yeah. No, Paul George, they got him at power forward. He's really a forward, but they got him at a power forward now.
Yeah, he was unbelievable last night. I didn't understand that when they named the MVP. I was just like, wow, really? You know?
Yeah.
And then I wanted them to give him the ball so he could get that extra shot because, you know, Paul George only needed one more bucket before he beat the all-time point in an all-star game, right?
Yeah.
He made it in the bucket. So, I wasn't happy with that. Even though Russell Westbrook is the bomb, I still think they should have gave it to Paul George.
Yeah, they should have. Well, Queen, I'm going to let you go. You brought it as usual.
Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you. Okay. All right, now I want to talk college basketball. In our last segment, I don't trust anybody. This is going to be one of those years where when you fill out the bracket, some lady is going to just pick a team because she likes their colors and they're going to win it all. I kind of trust Villanova, but they don't have a good history the last couple of years of advancing. I love their guard play in Maryland is good. But Maryland got blown out by Wisconsin at home. I don't think Maryland's big enough. Oklahoma, they're good. They could be a Final Four team. I watched them lose to Kansas twice this year, first in overtime, second where Kansas was just in the lead most of the game. And I liked how Selden and Graham and Mason did a good job on Buddy Hield, and they've D'd him up twice so far really well. Cousins played a little better than he did in Kansas, but it wasn't enough. They just don't have enough. I don't know if they have enough firepower than Cousins and Hield on a nightly basis. Iowa's just smart. I don't know if they're athletic enough. I want to ride Iowa. They lost to Indiana the other day. But they're smart, and they're pretty good in the middle. But they run to a quick team. See, these mid-majors, this is the perfect year for mid-majors to just run off upsets against these teams like Xavier and even Kansas. Kansas is a Final Four team. They play great defense. Selden and Graham has big shots. Mason's a tough dude. And then you got Perry Ellis, the senior veteran. Luke is decent inside. And I'm saying this is a team that can go far, but they have a bad habit of losing early. Virginia's good, but they don't blow me away. Duke is not ranked, but Duke is decent. They can win a game or two with Grayson Allen and Ingram. They just don't have a whole lot after that. But they're good. Those guys are good enough to make a run. Carolina's got the best team in the country, but they're soft. I watched Notre Dame push them around. They were undersized Notre Dame. Just push North Carolina around. That bothered me. And I thought they had overcame their softness of last year. I saw glimpses of softness in that game that makes me nervous. Like if they ran to Kansas, that's a bad matchup for them because Kansas is hardcore. They're smart defensively if Kansas gets there, of course. You see the dilemma, West Virginia. Now, Bob Huggins is starting. He's had a reputation of losing early. West Virginia, now they're starting to advance to the Sweet 16. He's kind of – that's a team. They got a great point guard, tough guy in the middle. I used to watch their big man play for Mount Verde. One of my friends, Coach Kevin Ball High School, who turned out D'Angelo Russell and Ben Simmons. And the big man that played there, and he's good, strong kid. West Virginia's good. Oregon beat Arizona. Arizona, I watched, beat USC yesterday. They kind of dominated USC from start to finish. They got their revenge on USC. USC beat them in double overtime before, and they got USC back 86-78 yesterday. I love how Gabe York is playing, and Caleb Tarzewski is really good in the middle. He blocks shots. He can score. They got a nice, balanced team. They could go far. I don't know if they're deep enough, but they have a little everything, which I like. And then the other teams are just teams could get to the 16 or lose. I tell you, the best team, or the best teams in the country you won't see is SMU because of this ridiculous NCAA, it feels like a witch hunt. I'm going to have Thaddeus Motula on my show. He deals with SMU. He's a movie producer, too. He's down there. And I'm going to get to the bottom of that SMU situation before I pass any type of judgment. Now, what I want to do next week is have a boxing show and talk about Gennady Golovkin and why him and Canelo aren't fighting. Are the promoters playing keep away, which they do, which makes me sick. Why don't promoters promote really good fighters? Is it because of race? There's a lot of – I'm going to try to get Harold Knight on, and there's a couple other people I'm going to try to do a boxing roundtable and just trying to hammer out issues and talk real talk when it comes to boxing. Tyson Fury seems like he's going to play keep away with the title if he meets Klitschko again. He's saying, I'll never fight Deontay Wilder. I'll never fight this guy. I'll never fight this guy. So I wonder if he's going to try to play keep away and not fight guys that could probably beat him and knock him out. Because I tell the truth on this show. Tyson Fury is a nice fighter, decent hands. But I think Wilder will knock him out. Even David Haye, I give him a chance. And he's naming these people. You don't do that. Don't fight the people, beat them up. Then you can say they're a bum. You have every right to say whatever you want after you beat them. And you know, but I'm going to get into all that next week. And then soon we'll have – it went from the Super Bowl to March Madness, which I love. Before I get off the air, I do want to commend Priya Roy. I usually don't talk about high school on my Coast to Coast radio show, but Priya Roy ran the Metro Classic, and he had Mount Verde of Florida and Coach Kevin Ball, who has cranked out pro after pro after pro. Al Harrington, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, Samuel Dellenberg, D'Angelo Russell, Ben Simmons, number one draft pick after number one draft pick, and he's one of the best coaches in the country. And if he could crank out some more national championships, he could be a Hall of Famer. And Pierre Roy ran the tournament, and he does a great job. It's for a charity. I had him on last year on my show. I just wanted to give him a shout-out and give him love because he's building momentum. It gets better and better, and he put a lot of work in it. And some of the best players in the country, they either go overseas, they're playing in the NBA or in this tournament. It's one of the best tournaments going. It's usually packed. It's going to be better and better and better. He's probably going to have to get a bigger arena. He may have to do it at Rutgers University one of these years. And he'll pack it out because he puts in the work and he's that good at organizing. So I wanted to give him some love before I got off the air. And next week, we want to talk about the sweet science.